You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sorry again. Oh my God, yes, I need to go down.
I can't,
you can hear me. I can't.
That's a horrifying sound. That is a reporter and her crew caught right in the middle of the fighting between Hamas and Israel. This is May 13, 2021. Even as she was speaking, the building next to her is being blown apart. At last report, if anyone is able to actually keep count, something like 1,500, 1,600, maybe 1,700, maybe 2,000 rockets have been launched from Hamas against Israel. And they don't really care where they go. They're going to civilian targets. They plan on hitting civilian targets. Israel is responding, continues to respond. It's seeking military targets. However, Hamas, like most of the cowards that exist among jihadists, Taliban and others, what they do is hide their weaponry inside hospitals and our children's homes. In the middle of a population center, thinking in part, well, they won't try to attack us because there'll be collateral damage of innocents. Well, of course, Israel would like to avoid such collateral damage, but you got to take out the targets. And Hamas is the one threatening the Palestinians by placing their firearms and their positions and their military commanders right in the midst of the civilian population. We're going to bring you up to speed on that over the next 2 hours. The gas shortage, supposedly short-lived. Why? Well, because the pipeline company apparently paying a ransom to the hackers. You want to guess how much they paid? Even while you're considering that, the other question is, will the company still have to pay even more? And beyond that, if you're going to pay off that ransom, what other companies are going to be subjected and held hostage, holding the country hostage on various issues? And the energy secretary, in the midst of all this, the energy secretary trying to calm everyone, saying in part, we won't need to rush in and buy gasoline like the toilet paper shortage we had during the COVID. We didn't need to do that. You didn't need to do that. Many people did. You couldn't find the toilet paper, remember? And in many places along the East Coast and even down to the Southeast, they can't get gasoline. Stations are empty. Now, they will get them back, but at what point? What about the airlines that fly in and out of airports? I told you yesterday, airports do not maintain a vast amount of fuel on their property. It's almost on demand. It comes in, it goes into a jet, another truck delivers more. And here's the thing the energy secretary suggested. If you had an electric car, you had to worry about gasoline. Is she really that stupid? Really? She did say something else I will applaud, although I don't think she even recognized it. She said pipelines are the best way to deliver this fuel. Didn't we kill the Biden, the Keystone XL pipeline? Question, is the Biden administration capable of handling all of this? Peter Hoekstra will be joining us, Center for Security Policy, on that very question. Also, James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation on the crisis at the border. Is Biden going to start building the wall again? Are they finally admitting, Trump was right? Are they going to impose some of the prior Trump policies? Trying to slide them under the door like this is our idea. All right. Fauci is saying you don't need the mask outside anymore. CDC getting ready to say the same thing. You probably decided long ago, how stupid am I to walk outside wearing a mask? Oh, there's a snow ski resort. If you ski at this snow ski resort, you might want a mask or at least something to hold your nose because you might not like the smell of the snow. Maybe. I'll explain that. And then this one. You're going to have to put me down as a fragile man. I'm outdated. I'm useless. I'm fragile. That's according to someone who claims that men only need guns because they're fragile. And we're useless. Oh, we got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. You do not want to miss it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500, but say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The White House declared a state of emergency after cyber hackers took control of the Colonial Oil Pipeline that carries half of the East Coast fuel supplies to 19 states. U.S. intelligence agencies are now investigating the ransomware attackers' links to the Kremlin.
I'm going to be meeting with President Putin and so far, there is no evidence based on from our intelligence people that Russia is involved.
Those are the words of President Biden regarding the hacking of the Colonial Pipeline. He says we're going to be talking to Russia. We're going to be talking to them, but we don't think Putin's involved. Do you realize if this situation had happened on Trump's watch and Trump made that kind of remark, we don't think they're involved. I'll be talking to Putin, but we don't think. You know what they would have been immediately shouting? Russian collusion. He's being bought off. He is the communist in the midst of our nation and now inside the White House. But, of course, it's Biden. And they're going to say, okay, you don't think they're going to be involved and we're going to be okay. Colonial Pipeline did apparently pay a ransom in question just so they could get the pipeline back up and running. They've admitted it is going to restart in the next few days, but get some underway maybe late today, maybe more of them tomorrow. Colonial hasn't specifically said that. However, one expert in the business, billionaire, and I think he probably knows what he's talking about, billionaire John Katsimatidis, who is the CEO of United Refining Company, chairman and CEO, did say that Colonial paid He estimates they paid something like $4 million, might be even more, but a minimum of $4 million to the hacking group, DarkSid, that supposedly is based in Russia. But they are insisting, we're not affiliated with any country or any politics. We're doing this simply for the money. They originally apparently wanted $100 million. So if they got paid $4, $5, even $6, even $10 million, then that's apparently a pretty good bargain for what they wanted. But the fact that Colonial Pipeline, and again, that pipeline, 5,500 miles long, transports more than 100 million gallons of fuel every day, about 45% of the entire East Coast supply, went offline last Friday. And yes, there are shortages. There are stations without fuel as we speak. I'm going to break that down in more detail, but what do we do to stop this from happening again? Well, again, to the energy, rather the United Refining Company chairman and CEO John Kasmatidis, who's estimating Colonial paid at least $4 million, he says, we need a plan for the future.
This is warfare against our country on these cyber attacks.
Yeah.
And we have a shortage of technical people and technical agents that can handle it. And if we have a university like a West Point type system where we teach these people to make them experts on cyber attacks, I think our country is going to be better off.
Yeah, I would agree so. He says right now we have people that might learn something like that, but then they're gobbled up by all the Googles, Facebook, other big IT firms. He said we need to set up a West Point type university where they learn this skill, and then for the next 5 years, they're obligated to serve on behalf of our government, not going rushing off to some of these high-tech companies. He said, we've got to be better prepared. I think he's right. And the question is, and this is not just on Biden's watch. This has been going on for some time. Now, I'm not going to give him an excuse on where we stand and what he's doing or not doing right now, but at the same time, you're going to have to be fair. This is not the first time companies have had to face a ransomware. Hospitals have, smaller companies have, and generally, and I talked to an expert at one time, security expert with Microsoft, was telling me, here's the way they work it. They get into your system, and they shut it down, and they say, we'll give you the key, or actually, we'll sell you the key so you can get back into your own system, but you're going to have to pay for the key. And he says, and then maybe some of the companies quickly say, okay, the key, all right, here's the money. And then the group carrying out the hack says, you might also need to pay us more money. Why? We got the key to get in. Yeah, but we got all the information you had on your site before we gave it back to you. And we'll be selling that to other people unless you want to buy it first. Pretty slick stuff. This Colonial Pipeline, we were telling you yesterday about the shortages across the Southeast. I know some folks, if you can imagine a map stretching from Texas, out of the Houston, Galveston area, like it's a highway. Imagine, of course, it's underground. It's going from Texas to the east through Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, goes into Maryland, New Jersey. That's a lot of territory to cover, 5,500 miles. And so when you were hearing reports yesterday that Pensacola, Florida, their 70% of the stations were out of fuel or severe shortages. And others were in Charlotte saying, we're looking at, you know, only 80% of the stations were out of fuel at that point. And you kept hearing, well, I thought all this went to the Northeast. Yeah, but it also is pulled off that same line for those areas before it also gets to the Northeast. So what Colonial was trying to do, even before they had to pay off the ransom, they started opening up some of these, let's call them tributaries, to this main pipeline. One tributary runs right off of the pipeline out of Georgia, going down to the top of Florida. One goes to the northwest up into Tennessee. And then you get farther up, you got some tributaries rushing, taking off to South Carolina and then North Carolina. So that's why the entire area has been affected like this. And here's the way Fox News and talking to one of the trucking companies was evaluating the situation.
The Colonial Pipeline has resumed operations, but the fuel shortage is not over. Panic buying across the southeast has gas stations running dry, which is taking a major toll on the trucking industry. How do these pipelines directly impact the work that you need to do on a daily basis?
Well, it's real simple. When we don't have any fuel, we can't go nowhere. We specialize in transporting food long distances. So we need diesel fuel to travel to these states, California, Arizona, Florida, Georgia. And also we're using the diesel fuel to cool and keep the food that we haul refrigerated or frozen. So if we have no fuel, we can't keep the product cold, and we can't go nowhere. So we're dead in the water.
Dead in the water. That's the trucking industry on our highways and everything. And I told you yesterday, a friend had told me that a trucking friend of his had to stop where he was. He wasn't sure he had enough fuel to make it home, so he's stopping at one truck stop. They didn't have that much fuel, so he's just going to kind of wait. And then in the midst of all of this, to show you the intelligence we have at the top of this administration, our energy secretary, the one picked by Joe Biden to head up the Department of Energy secretary. And, of course, in Biden's mind and all the progressive left, when we speak of energy, we don't really mean energy as you know it now. We mean anything other than fossil fuels. And so she could not help but kind of make a remark about that I'm sure she thought was kind of cute and, again, pushing their idea that we want to get rid of gasoline cars and go to all electric. We're talking again about Jennifer Granholm, the Department of Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, and how she addressed that, you know, this wouldn't be a big problem with you guys if you get on board with what we want to do. Listen to this.
We obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And, you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly.
No, clearly, she has no idea. How does she think the electric source you plug into, how do you think, does she think the electricity is available? Can all be wind turbines, can all be solar, maybe hydro energy from a nearby river. But that won't supply the nation's need. And she said, if you had a electric car, you wouldn't have a problem with gas. That's true, except to plug it in, you're going to have a problem. Senator Lindsey Graham called her out, and I love it.
The two responses from the President Biden and his spokesperson are unnerving. They're naive, they're weak, and they don't show an understanding of the problem. He should be saying, we're going to prevent this in the future. I'm going to have a national strategy to upgrade cybersecurity for critical infrastructure like financial services and energy. And oh, by the way, if you have an electric car, apparently you can't attack a power plant. That was the dumbest thing in the world. If we had all electric cars, the pipeline hack wouldn't matter. Well, what if they take down the power company, the power unit you plug your car into?
Yeah, then where are you going to get the power? And the only person so far that's come forward and said we need a full-scale national effort to be preparing our government to deal with these hackers and have people in place, as he said, a West Point type of program. We're talking again about United Refining Company Chairman and CEO John Katsimatidis saying that's what we need to do to be ready. But if you thought Graham, I should say not Graham, that's Senator Graham, but if you're talking about Granholm, the energy secretary, you thought she was sounding stupid when she talked about, well, if you had an electric car, you wouldn't have this issue. She got asked another question, and the answer she gave, well, I think you'll pick it out. Just listen, please.
The DOT is looking at that, and so we'll have to wait till their analysis is done. these are not easy solutions because there may or may not be the right rail cars. There may not or may not be the deep water ports available for the Jones Act to be able to respond. So this particular area of the country, there, this is why we have doubled down on ensuring that there's an ability to truck oil in, gas in. But it's the pipe is the best way to go.
Whoa, the pipe is the best way to go. The first thing Joe Biden did when he got in office is take his pen and put his signature to a plan by executive order to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline, saying we don't need that kind of stuff, and putting hundreds out of work, causing thousands of jobs to be lost eventually. But again, I want you to hear the Energy Secretary say how great she thinks of the pipeline.
The pipe is the best way to go. 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 The pipe is the best way to go.
Woman, see, when they get in a crisis, they realize, actually, like at the border, if they're going to start rebuilding the wall, which you're going to get into later, then obviously maybe a pipeline is the best way to go. That's exactly what the Trump administration, everybody's been saying. You take the trucks off the highway, you reduce the number of fuel trucks moving, you reduce the number on rail. The pipeline's the best way to go. But these guys are clueless. Not just clueless, they have an agenda, and they're going to ignore facts. Speaking of the border, update on drug cartels and what they're doing. Stand by, please.
USA.
The Sinaloa cartel, which is El Chapo's cartel, they basically run that Arizona border on the Mexico side. 50% of the drugs that are in our country come through this Arizona border and then onto I-8 and on 10, I-10, which have become the fentanyl freeway.
The fentanyl freeway. She's explaining it exactly the way reality exists. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee. What the drug cartels are doing, and we know what they're doing, they've got to be laughing. They've got to be laughing at what the Biden administration is not doing and allowing them to do that, to bring drugs in, to smuggle humans in. And they have a much greater project than just bringing some drugs across or just getting someone across. They're looking at infiltrating throughout the country and establishing terrorist strongholds. There's no doubt about that. You cannot doubt that. And that's just the Mexican drug and human smuggling cartels, not to mention jihadists have been coming across our border. Senator Marsha Blackburn again on how they are operating.
We also know that they are taking young people and are using them as mules to move these drugs. Mm-hmm. We know that the cartels are very sophisticated. They now completely outfit down to shoes and backpacks in cartel clothing to move these individuals to U.S. soil. They put a wristband on them that shows they've either paid their fee or they need to work that fee out. That's called indentured servitude. Work that fee out once they get to the U.S. This is through sex trafficking, human trafficking, labor gangs, MS-13, and other gangs.
The Biden administration also knows this is happening. They just want to admit it. But listen to this. There's something happening here. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says it will restart construction on a 13-mile stretch in the Rio Grande Valley, resuming construction of a southern border wall levee. Not the border wall itself, but that's part of it. See, they had to, when they were in the process of building the wall, they had to blow out part of that levee, so they're going to start repairs within 6 weeks to prevent flooding. Flooding. Don't you think that would be a good time to go ahead and put the wall up in that area as well? We're going to watch, because I think once they get in, they're going to realize we might as well do this. You know, one person you cannot blame for any of this. Vice President Kamala Harris. 50-plus days, she's yet to hold a news conference on what she is or is not doing after being given the assignment by the president to be her, or to be his, I should say, his border czar or something like that. According to Customs Border Patrol, we've had something like almost 180,000 migrant encounters in April. But you can't blame Harris because she hasn't done anything. Hey, what a trick. If I don't do anything, you can't complain about it. And, of course, some of her supporters say that it's a good idea because if this crisis drags on, it will cost her political points down the road and any future plans for president if she touches it and it fails and goes. It's going to fail and continue the way it's going. And, of course, we're being told you're just attacking her trying to make political points. I don't really care about political points. I care about this country and protecting and establishing a border. Now, just the other day along the Del Rio, Texas area, there were reports of the members of the Mexican military actually stopping some of those on the opposite shoreline, detaining migrants, not letting them go across. But you heard Senator Blackburn talk about what's happening, especially on Arizona, where the Arizona Attorney General said Harris has got to do something or be replaced. He said, like many Americans, President Biden, I was encouraged that you appointed her to lead the efforts to stem the tidal wave of illegal migration. However, to date, her response to the border crisis has been absolutely as abysmal. And I'm abysmal, and I'm requesting she be replaced as your border czar. She got it in name and title only, and she probably would sign off on that letter. Y'all take me out of this. James J. Carafino coming up from the Heritage Foundation on the crisis of the border that Biden still won't deal with. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rodtler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rodler. Pest Solutions.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Biden's open border policy has caused this disarray at the border. It is Biden's immigration policy. Joe Biden and his administration have broken the border, and we need to put these protocols back in place.
Yes, ma'am, we do. That is, again, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee. The Los Angeles Times the other day published a report yesterday blaming Republicans for, quote, mischievous partisanship over the border issue, and especially referencing things that VP Harris has not been doing. Congressman Cuellar, Texas Democrat, said the vice president's playing, in my opinion, very safe by simply not dealing with the border. It's got to be dealt with. Our next guest for the Heritage Foundation, James J. Carafano, an expert in national security. James, glad to have you back on board, sir.
So, look, not to call the vice president a liar, but among the other things she said is she's going to address the root causes of the border crisis, and she said the number one thing is climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change is driving mass migration. So, because I trust the vice president, because of course she's an honorable woman, I looked up the numbers. So the global statistics on the number of climate deaths in 2019 was 250,000. Mm-hmm. It's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
You want a bigger number? That's 8 billion people in the world.
Well, but Jim, I think you're really abusing those numbers somehow or another. I don't know how, but you are.
There's 8 billion people, and you can peg 250,000 deaths worldwide over the entire planet to climate change. More than 250,000 people have crossed the border in the United States.
Yes, up to 180,000 last month.
Yeah, so where the heck is she getting this from?
From thin air.
There is not a migration anywhere in the world today being driven by climate change. That's a fact. It's not negotiable. It's an absolute fact. And then for her to say that climate change is driving people here, even though there is literally less than zero evidence for that, and she's not challenged by the mass media, she's not challenged by people in her own party, and then they attack people for attacking the administration for lying. Listen to the Mayorkas testimony today, because literally he said things which were unbelievable. Okay, maybe he didn't say outright lies, but he said, well, we don't have any minors in custody. Well, dude, that's because you ship them all to HHS.
Yes.
Health and Human Services. That's a shell game. And then they ask him questions, like basic questions, like, okay, how many people did you guys send into the country and not even give a court date for an immigration judge? And he goes, I don't know. Dude, you're the head of the department. What am I missing here?
And this friend, my other concern is these children that are coming, you know, see the children on the other side. So we're going to care for them. I'm not going to leave them out there to die. Many of them have a telephone number in their pocket. Supposedly that's a relative. We don't really vet them. We call the number. It's a cousin I know was coming. Send them to I don't know if we're sending them to a relative or to a den of pedophiles.
Well, look, the other thing is, I mean, you know, look, I don't doubt that HHS is trying to turn them over to a credible person.
But are they vetting? They're not vetting, Jim.
But here's the deal. You know, we keep talking about unaccompanied minors. The vast majority of these kids are 16, 17, many of them 18 years old.
Young men.
So literally, they will be supervised for anything from days to weeks to months to a year or so before they're just out doing whatever they want. So this notion that I think when people say, you know, we're finding sponsors for these things, they think they're like little babies that are being cuddled, you know, swaddled in a cloth, and that, you know, we're handing over newborns to parents and, you know, and cousins and uncles. Literally, we are handing off young adults to whoever, who are literally going to walk out the back door and go out and look for a job.
Yeah, or join MS-13 or other gangs. There's a Harvard-Harris poll, I'm sure you're aware, that came out the other day, that said 65% of registered voters say Biden is encouraging illegal immigration in the U.S. 65% say he's encouraging illegal immigration. 35% say he's discouraging. I don't know where they're thinking, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. So first of all, with a number like that, part of those have to be people in his own party, which is interesting.
Two out of
it's
three.
It's a majority. It represents a majority, which is interesting. And when you have an administration that completely lies about this issue, and a press that completely tries to ignore or excuse the issue, and every liberal pundit and whatever disparaging anybody that questions them, so the entire woke machine, you know, everybody outside the cone of silence is telling people nothing to see here, just walk on, and Americans still get it, that this is wrong, boy, that really tells you something.
This is James J. Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. He had served at one time with the Homeland Security Advisory Council, and 25 years in the Army. And I want to switch topics briefly, Jim. I can't have you on with your knowledge and background. Plus, you've got a book coming out, The Changing Face of War, part of a book series on how various trends are affecting the nature of armed conflict. The Hamas rockets being fired into Israel, rockets supplied by Iran to Hamas, and we're told by the left, some on the left in particular, that Israel shouldn't be firing back. They should just sit there and take it.
Well, there's two things going on here. One is Hamas is desperate to destroy the Abraham Accords. Because remember, the only reason they have to exist is to destroy Israel. So if every Arab nation is treating Israel like a normal country, then their justification for existing evaporates. So they have to have blood in the streets, Palestinian children lying dead in the street. Doesn't matter who kills them or how they got killed.
Right.
So they can turn to the Arab world and say, oh, my God, you can't do this. Right. So it's all about squirreling the normalization of relations between the Arabs and the Israelis. And then, of course, Iran, this administration is pleading to get back into the Iran deal. Iran is desperate to humiliate them and embarrass them in every way possible. So what better way than to have America pleading to get back into the deal, even as people are hammering Israel with rockets? So the administration looks weak and feckless in the way they're dealing with the region. Don't forget, they just, you know, there's this group organization called UNRWA. It's a United Nations organization that provides aid to the Palestinians. We were the biggest donor. Trump cut it off.
Yeah.
Biden immediately restored it, like something like $200 million. So Biden literally writes them a check for $200 million, and the first thing they do is attack Israel. Now, if that isn't a spit in your face, Matt, I don't know what is.
He did. He's being quoted by a statement. I've been looking for audio of it, but it may be just a statement that he supports Israel's right to defend itself. And I think even Pelosi said, maybe even Schumer, I lost track, but they're just not vocal at all about Hamas has to stop.
Yeah, I mean, could you think of this is the leader of the free world. And the best he could muster is, I hope it ends soon.
Yeah.
And, of course, Israel can defend itself. Literally, this would be like FDR saying the day after Pearl Harbor, well, of course the people of Hawaii should defend themselves.
Right.
And, you know, the Japanese shouldn't have bombed my fleet. That, I mean, really? That's the best, as a leader of the free world, that's the best you can muster in response to our most important ally in our most important ally in the Middle East. 1,600 rockets rain down on them from the sky. And your answer is, I hope it ends soon.
Well, I want to, folks, again, James is very prolific, an accomplished historian and researcher. You have a publication that came out, it's available now, Brutal War. It's a study of the combat in the Southwest Pacific. Since you brought up Pearl Harbor, in Brutal War and the people you saw in leadership positions and you document in there compared to what we have in this White House now, are leaders of our country, I think would either be speaking German or Japanese at this point.
Well, you know, I'm no fan of the New Deal and a lot of the domestic policies that FDR had. But, you know, the reason why I still admire FDR is when World War II started, it was like, dudes, put the New Deal on the shelf. Because if we don't win this one, we're not going to survive.
Right. Matter of fact,
there was a U.S. information agency that was stood up during World War II, and you know, essentially to work, you know, propaganda and information in support of the war effort. And it was stacked by a bunch of New Dealers, and they said, well, "Okay, we're going to use World War II as an opportunity to sell the New Deal." Because after the war, we want everybody to, you know, embrace, you know, socialism, basically. And FDR said, no, we're not going to do that, you idiot. We're going to have this agency focus on winning the war. And you know, if we think our policies are good ideas after the war, we'll try to sell it to the American people.
So I'm seeing the same thing happen now, and the administration is kind of going along with it.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. Well, that's an excuse for me to pass the American Jobs Plan. It doesn't matter what happens. Well, that's my excuse for me to pass the American Family Plan or my budget. So I have a progressive wish list, and it doesn't matter what horrible, terrible thing is going on in the world. The answer is it's all Trump's fault, and the $6 trillion I want to spend is the answer to that problem. I mean, if they have not destroyed every ounce of credibility they had in governing this country. I don't know what it's going to take.
I got to tell you, I have never prayed as hard for this country as I have over recent weeks and months. And I'm praying for the leadership there, well, for the Biden and Harris team. But, I mean, to get it right and just we're going – in the last 20 seconds, Jim, where are we going if we continue this road?
Well, look, I think America's a great country, and I think we'll survive. But this is – These are self-inflicted wounds, yeah. and I just think that's unforgivable.
James, thanks. As always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. James J. Carafano, Heritage Foundation. Coming up, our Health and Human Services Secretary does not know abortion law.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So our Health and Human Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra, of course, he's tasked with enforcing our health care statutes. He was in a hearing in front of Congress and got asked by a congressman from Florida, Republican, do you believe that partial birth abortion was illegal? And Becerra's answer, we will continue to make sure we follow the law. Again, with due respect, there is no medical term like partial birth abortion, so I'd probably have to ask you, what do you mean by that to describe what's allowed by the law? And he continued, but Roe v. Wade is very clear, settled precedent, and a woman has a right to make decisions about her reproductive health. We'll make sure we enforce the law and protect those rights. So the congressman followed up the question, or say, again, do you agree with the law on partial birth abortion? Becerra's answer, again, as I said, there is no law that deals specifically with the term partial birth abortion. Does he think we're stupid? He probably does. Does he think we forgot what he did in the past? He probably hopes we did. Becerra himself, as a representative from California in 2003, voted against a partial birth abortion law. Voted against it. It became law under the Bush era. But he's now denying there's such a thing as partial birth abortion law. He voted against it. He knew there was such a law. I guess he decided, well, I vote against it, so that means it didn't exist. Really? The term specifically, under federal law, I'm reading from federal law, defines the term as partially delivering a fetus for the purpose of killing it. It doesn't say that directly, but that's what it leads to. Here's what it actually says by fact. Statement, quote, the term means, quote, deliberately, intentionally, vaginally, delivering a living fetus until, in the case of a head-first presentation, the entire fetal head is outside the body of the mother, or in the case of breech presentation, any part of the fetal trunk past the navel is outside the body of the mother for the purpose of performing an overt act that the person knows will kill the partially delivered living fetus. But he doesn't want to acknowledge that. He said, really, you should use the term dilation and extraction. You know what that is? That's partially extracting a baby from the uterus before puncturing the skull and suctioning the brain out. And I have people in my face, it's my body, I can do what I want. Yeah, okay. What if your mom had done that? You wouldn't be standing here to argue that point, would you? The U.S. Bishops Conference launching a campaign to put an end to taxpayer-funded abortions. They tweeted out taxpayer dollars should not pay for abortion. They want Congress to defend the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment says no federal dollars can be spent for an abortion. How do they get around it? Planned Parenthood doesn't use those monies, tax monies, for the actual abortion. It pays for the rent, the utilities, leases, things of that nature. but not the specific abortion. So they can say, no, no, it wasn't used that way. And you know who was a big supporter of that? A Catholic? Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Then through his campaign to become the one to sit in the Oval Office, it was that important to him, he declared his unwavering support to repeal the Hyde Amendment, named for former Representative Henry Hyde, Republican of Illinois. Last January, the U.S. bishops condemned the president's statement about that. He said it's grievous that one of President Biden's first official acts actively promotes the destruction of human lives in developing nations because he reinstated taxpayer-funded abortions around the world when he repealed the Mexico City policy, that measure to ban federal financing of abortions abroad. Trump got rid of it. Biden put it back in. The price some are willing to pay to sit in the Oval Office or to grab the gold ring, and in this case, built upon the bodies of babies that had heartbeats. You want to believe the science? Believe the science. If there's a heartbeat, that's a live baby. So when you puncture the skull and suck the brain out, or you get enough of it out that then you can cut it in half or whatever your intention is, you're killing a living creature. And we got so many laws across this land, you can't, this particular species, that thing, that snail, this bird. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do some of that, but in the midst of all that, where does a child measure up? Where does a child fit into the scheme for the progressives? We'll take one moment to let you remember, this program is supported by you and your listenership and you spreading the word. And many of you are doing that, and I appreciate it, because we're growing by leaps and bounds, because another station in town has simply walked away from such detailed information and talk. And I appreciate you sharing the word. This is where you get it now. And we got a second hour coming up. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.